The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once, Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Little gospel that we just heard, that's the same gospel that you're going to hear on Sunday. You can hear that one on Sunday, and I don't know about you, but I don't have an infinite number of ideas, right? Right? I can't just talk about these things forever and ever, so I'm saving up my bullets for Sunday, and I want to talk to you instead about the first reading, okay? Because we haven't heard anything about the first reading from Jeremiah, who we've been hearing from for the last 3 weeks. Now, like I said, if you want to understand some of these Old Testament first readings, you got to first understand just a little bit of history. Just a little bit of history, okay? So here's the history behind the first reading. The first reading takes place just before the exile of the people of Israel to the land of Babylon. And let's just real briefly review what that's all about. Okay, the year was 587 BC when the armies of Babylon conquered Jerusalem, took the people captive to the land of Babylon, which is now in Iraq, and kept them there for 50 years. Now, this was an unimaginable tragedy, literally unimaginable that anything like that could happen, that the people who had been given the promised land by God would have the promised land taken away from them. That the people who had been set free from captivity in Egypt would return to captivity in Babylon, that the great temple of God, the dwelling place of God on earth, would be burned to the ground, but not before it was first looted and pillaged and all of its valuables stolen and carried away. Unthinkable tragedy. It was as though God had abandoned his people. It was as though God did not exist. Now, the prophet Jeremiah had warned the people that these things were going to happen. He's going to warn the people about all these tragedies. And that's when the first reading begins. Because along comes a false prophet. His name is Hananiah. And he says to the people of Jerusalem, don't you worry about a thing. That mean guy Jeremiah, he's got it all wrong. None of those things are going to happen to you. People of Jerusalem, you're going to be just fine. God's going to make everything work out, and the Babylonians are all going to be defeated. Then Jeremiah steps forward. He says, Hananiah, You're a false prophet, and you don't speak for God. So the people are all confused. Which guy's telling the truth, and which guy's telling a lie? Who's the false prophet, and who's the real prophet? Well, Jeremiah makes a prediction. For the year is out, Hananiah, you'll die. 7 months later, Hananiah dies. And it raises a real important question, all these issues here in the first reading. An issue of prophecy, which is very important and also very misunderstood. Because people think that prophecy is all about foretelling the future. And it's not. Prophecy is about announcing God's will right now. Commonly, people think that prophecy is all about telling you what's going to happen tomorrow, when biblically speaking, the truth of the matter is prophecy is about telling you how God wants you to act today. That's what it's all about. Three purposes to a prophet. Three purposes. Number one, exhort the people to holiness. Number two, tell the people how to worship God rightly. Number three, remind them how important it is to love God and neighbor. Three purposes to every prophet. Number one, exhort the people to holiness. Holy means different. Don't be afraid to be different. You're supposed to be different from everybody else. God help us if we're just the same as everybody else. What good is salt that's lost its flavor? It's good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. Number two, worship God rightly. It's important that we do our liturgies, it's important that we do them correctly. But it's so much more important that it's undergirded by a life that wants to serve God even when we walk out of the church doors, right? Teach people what it means to worship God. And lastly, and obvious on its face value, the importance of loving God and neighbor. Those are the three purposes of a prophet. Now, sometimes a prophet does foretell the future, okay? Sometimes a prophet does foretell the future, but it's only to make people change their behavior in the present. For example, every parent acts as a prophet when they say to their little kid, "You better finish your vegetables or there'll be no dessert." Prophecy. Right? Every parent acts as a prophet when they tell their teenage kid, "You better study for that test or you're going to end up in summer school." Prophecy, right? That's the way the prophets acted. People, you better reform your ways or you're going to be overrun by your enemies. Prophecy. Or in our own time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a call to repentance. The door of mercy is wide open, but it will not remain wide open forever. One day the door of mercy will close and our opportunity to walk through the gates of God's mercy will end. We'll have to face God's justice. So repent now while you have the chance. Prophecy, right? What's the difference between a real prophet and a false prophet? A real prophet leads you to God, and usually at his own expense. A false prophet leads you away from God, and it's always for his own benefit. Just for fun, one of these days, look up, just for fun, look, it's easy to do on the internet, look up how all the Old Testament prophets died. It's incredible. Almost all of them died martyrs' deaths. Almost all of them were stoned to death or beheaded or impaled with a sword. A real prophet exhorts you to change, even when it's difficult. And that's why Hananiah was a false prophet. He tickled the people's ears. The call of God is always a challenge. Here's one of my favorite little passages from the saints. This is from St. John of the Cross. You want to know the voice of God and how it sounds in the world? Listen to this. He says, "Be inclined always," John of the Cross says, "not to what's easiest, but to what's most difficult. Not to what's most delightful, but to what's most distasteful. Not to what means rest for you, but to what means hard work. Not to what's highest and most precious, but to what's lowest and most despised. Don't go about looking for the best of temporal things, but for the worst. And for Christ, desire to enter into emptiness and poverty in everything in the world." Now that's the voice of the prophet. Don't misunderstand. He doesn't say always choose what's most difficult, but when trying to figure out what's God's will, the difficult one is usually the one that God's asking of us, right? All of us, by the way, all of us are called to be prophets by virtue of our baptism. Called to announce Jesus Christ and to call others to witness to him. Let's pray to do so faithfully as we continue with the prayer of this Mass, for our good, for the good of those we love, and for the praise and glory of God the Father. Amen.